Hi, everybody. And welcome to the Homeschool Dad Show. I am your host, Dan Luzonis, and I'm talking all things education, all things parenting, and most of all, how you can unlock your kids' full potential. I'm taking your calls today at 866-606-8255. That's 866-606-8255. And I'd love to connect with you on the www at my website, homeschooldad.com. Today, I want to talk about education beyond academics. If you've been listening to this show, you know I'm not a big fan of school. I am the homeschool dad. My kids have never spent a day in school. There are many things wrong, in my opinion, with the traditional path of education, especially in the year 2016. And I think if we don't look beyond school as parents, I think we are going to, our kids are not going to unlock their full potential. They are going to have a rough go of it because what's taught in school is not needed for life. In fact, a lot of what's taught in school is going to handicap your children in life. Whenever I work with new clients who want to pull their children out of school, their number one question or their initial concerns are how do they get the academics in? And of course, I answer them because I want to serve them. But I always tell them that, or I demand from them to know what their long-term goals are. Because getting a good grade, getting a high SAT score, getting into a college is not a long-term goal. I want to know what their long-term desired outcomes for their children are. And it's almost always the same. People want their children to have money. They want them to be wealthy. They want them to have the options and the freedom, particularly the time freedom, that comes with not being always in debt, not pinching pennies, not wondering where the next paycheck is coming from. Everybody wants their kids to have a successful economic future. And everybody wants their children to be healthy. Nobody wants their kids to be overweight, to be limping around, to be battling depression or illnesses. These are givens. But they're not always tattooed on parents' consciousnesses. You know, they're not thinking long-term about kids, about their kids' health and about their financial freedom. They're short-term. They're buried in worrying about grades and maybe how good their kids are doing on the soccer team. And this is the power of goals, is when you have long-term goals. Like if you say, I want my kid to be healthy, I want my kid to be wealthy, if you have them on your consciousness, if they're echoing throughout your brain, they're going to be constant reminders and guides on how you should raise your kids and the things you should emphasize, the things you should add to their lives, the things you should subtract from them. Everybody wants their kids to be healthy and wealthy. And I'm going to throw in another one in there, another key to success. And this is a consensus one. This isn't, you know, just my hypothesis. If you do your Googling about what creates happiness out there in life, and I don't mean happiness for a 10-year-old, because happiness for a 10-year-old is ice cream and video games. I'm talking about sustainable happiness for 30, 40, 50-year-old adults. Organic, I may as well throw organic in there. Organic, sustainable happiness. The key to that, or one of the major keys, is having high-quality relationships. Or happiness is a measure of the quality of one's relationships. Now, that might sound a little theoretical when I say it like that, but it really is, you know, how good is your relationship with your children? How good is your relationship with your spouse or your own parents, your own siblings? How good is your relationship with your neighbors? Do you have a lot of friends? Do you have a lot of respect, a lot of people that'll show up when you die? This is something to think about, you know, because, like I said, it's an empirical truth. It's been proven. You can have all the money in the world. You could be able to run marathons. But if you don't have any friends, you could be lonely. And vice versa. You can be a popular person, but if you don't have money, if you haven't figured out economics, that can blow back in many, many ways on you. And that's why, you know, for the purposes of this show, we'll say that's the Holy Trinity of happiness. There are a few other things we could throw in there. But in this show, talking about life beyond academics, I want to emphasize, you know, your body, your wallet, and your little black book of friends. Now, I was thinking about this show this morning, and I'm looking at my neighbor across the way. I'm sure this guy's a multimillionaire. Everyone who lives near me has a lot of money. But he's also incredibly overweight. And he sits on his deck or his sunroom, and he watches television from 6 a.m. to about 10 p.m. every single day. Now, what's the big deal? There are a lot of people doing this. Well, he's overweight. He has all this money, but he probably can't walk up the hill that we live on. And furthermore, his own father lives with him. And every single day, an ambulance comes to take his father to dialysis. I mean, this is what I just don't get. I mean, he can see what's going to happen to him. He's going to be diabetic. He's going to be in that ambulance every single day. And because he neglected his health, he is going to be like his father. He's going to be spending the rest of his life probably bedridden, maybe losing toes and being at the mercy of medical professionals. And it's because they had this blind spot. You know, they took care of their money, but they did not take care of their health. Nobody in school really learns how to deal with money. I know I certainly didn't. I'm not sure any of the teachers in school know anything about money. It's definitely not in the core curriculum. And then that result is we're all going to enter this world. We're going to enter college in the real world as basically economically illiterate. We're preschoolers when we get out, and we act that way. I mean, it boggles my mind when I see how young people spend money today. I just can't believe it. And of course, they're not spending money; they're spending credit. I think it's not uncommon for college students to have $3,000-$4,000 in credit card debt by the time they graduate. And they are starting life out in a hole. And if you want your child to be wealthy, I don't know how you can handicap them this way. The school sheltering them from financial matters is bad enough. But as a parent, we have to really work hard to get out in front of this. And unfortunately, many parents are teaching their kids about debt by example. They're in debt, and they see nothing wrong with their kids being in debt. They see nothing wrong with taking out hundreds of thousands of dollars in loans to send the kids to college. And then we wonder why, at 40 years old, they don't have any money. We cannot handicap our kids with with such, I don't know, we're going to call it ignorance? Well, let's just say bad habits. And, I was on the tube last year in London. You know, that's their subway system there. And I see these obviously American college students, and I start talking to them. One of the boys was from, I think, Oklahoma. And, I asked him how he was doing and how he was enjoying London. He said it was great. He said, except that, he was shocked when he saw his credit card bill that was $1,700. He said he thought he spent $500, and it said he'd spent $1,700. And, I wasn't going to lecture him or anything there, but, you might want to look into exchange rates before you just start laying down your credit card everywhere. And, I mean, this to me was unconscionable. You didn't do this. And it was probably going on when I was in school. And I definitely, spent a lot of money when I was in college. But it's definitely of epidemic proportions now. And this is one of the pillars of happiness is financial literacy. And we have kids at 22 years old who are in the hole, know nothing about how to make money. And, we have this glaring blind spot as a society. It's economic illiteracy. And if we want our kids to be, those 1% kids or those 2% kids, or if we want them to have a lot of options in life, we're going to have to figure out how to teach them this stuff. We may have to teach ourselves first, but we're going to have to add it in there. And to get back to my neighbor here who's headed for the dialysis machine, there's so many things in school that harm our bodies, that set us on a path of, let's just say, suboptimal physical performance. I mean, forget spelling, forget handwriting, forget, the parts of a cell. Our kids need to learn how to take care of their bodies. They need to learn about nutrition. They need to learn about exercise. And, you know, phys ed is not getting it done. Look at all the kids out there who are overweight and suffering from, you know, health issues at early ages. And, you know, they had phys ed. Phys ed doesn't do anything. All right, you're listening to The Homeschool Dad Show. I'm Dan Lozonis, and I'll be back in just a minute.
We don't need no thought control. No dark sarcasm in the classroom. Teach.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to the Homeschool Dad Show. I'm your host, Dan Lozonis, and I am talking all things education, all things parenting, and most of all, how you can unlock your kids' full potential. I'm taking your calls today at 866-606-8255, and I'd love to connect with you online through my website at homeschooldad.com. Today's show is about education beyond academics. I mean, really, that's where it starts. Academics is at best a dress rehearsal or a scrimmage, or it's a theoretical book. Education doesn't happen until we get into the real world. And in the last segment, I was talking about three, you know, pillars of long-term happiness. If you want your child to, you know, be all they can be, as they say in the Army, if you want them to have it all, at a minimum, you're going to want them to be economically self-sufficient. You're going to want them to be physically healthy, and you're going to want them to have strong relationships with other human beings. And unfortunately, those three things, those three long-term goals, are not the goals of a school system that is focused on credentials. That uses, you know, suboptimal resources and very inefficient methods, a system that is all about conformity and passivity. And, you know, this passivity has, you know, a lot of problems with our body. We get out of bed, we sit at a breakfast table, we sit in a car or a bus, and we sit in, you know, a desk all day. And the next thing you know, we have diabetes because we have never moved. And that is probably the worst health lesson in all of school. I think it was General Patton. Yeah, it was definitely General Patton who said you should get up every 20 minutes and move. And because he believed that the brain starts to kind of downshift if you sit for more than 20 minutes. And in Finland, I mentioned this last week on my show, Finland, who supposedly has the best educational system out there on the planet, they, you know, they give the kids 15 minutes of recess every single hour. So there are other ways to, or other, well, let's just say there's evidence that physical activity is really good for long-term health. I mean, I can't believe I'm even saying this, but you know, like I said in the first segment, you have to have it in your mind. You have to have it as a goal that you want your kids to be physically fit, because that goal is going to keep you honest. And you're going to say, hey, you know what? My kid hasn't been outside all day long. Go out and play, or let's go for a walk, or get on your bike. Get off that electronic device. Another thing that we don't learn in school beyond exercise is just general health. I mean, I think if you don't learn, we'll put it this way, nobody can actually say that all their health problems have been solved by doctors. That every time they go to a doctor has the right diagnosis and fixes them right up, and, you know, that's it. In fact, most people will tell you the opposite, that they have a health issue that the doctors misdiagnosed, or they had a surgery that the doctors never should have done. It was controversial. Or they put me on drugs that, you know, had bad side effects. In fact, I know a woman who put her daughter on some anti-seizure medicine at the upon the recommendation of her doctor, and basically she was on it for about 6 months or a year, and then the doctor pulled her off. And then what happened was what every parent who puts their kid on a drug is afraid of. The FDA revokes the drug because, you know, it's not for whatever reason, it wasn't approvable. And now her daughter's in high school and she has all these learning disabilities, and this poor mom swears that, or she definitely feels that that drug she put her daughter on stunted her intellectual development. Now, how would you like to live with that type of guilt your whole life? But where'd it come from? You know, she put her daughter on a drug. She didn't Google it enough. She didn't ask enough second opinions. And I think that if you don't question a guy in a lab coat, if you just think because someone has a degree, whether they're a teacher, a doctor, or a lawyer, or whatever, if you think that they are infallible, I think you're going to have problems in life. I think eventually you're going to listen to the wrong person. And I think that, you know, because of that, I think it's clear that we have to take care of, because of that reality, we have to take care of our own health. We have to listen to our own body signals. And we have to get out of bed ourselves every day, and we have to exercise. And we have to say no to the donuts. What did I see? This fudge croissant donut yesterday at Dunkin' Donuts. It said it was 468 calories. I mean, you got to say no to that. And for the moment, I said no to it. But we are in charge of our bodies, and we have to place emphasis on it. I think when we're kids, we're all cartilage and we heal quickly and we're bulletproof. We can stay out all night and drink, and we think that, yeah, we do think we're bulletproof, but we are not. All right, we have a caller on the line. Hi, Denise. Welcome to the Homeschool Dad Show, and how can I help you today?
Well, it's interesting where you went with that last segment, because I've been trying to teach natural health for 20 years. I saved my life twice when the medical profession nearly killed me. Beat a really serious case of cancer, came out of menopause, had a baby at 47, yada, yada. But, you know, spreading the good news has not been easy. And recently I've added musical comedy to my spiel, and it changed everything. I've got a fun Chantix commercial. I have a sugar wrap about a spoonful of sugar makes your erection go down. And I have a harp. So I play and sing, but I tell them really serious stuff, and then I add kind of a funny jingle to help them remember, really isn't funny. This is important. But it's all of a sudden I've found an audience and an ear where the same information that's life-changing, I just couldn't find a way to get it out there. So I think there's so much information, we're so inundated, that we really do have to find creative ways to get over the noise. The pharmaceutical company has a big voice. They have, you know, television. They've got the White House. So we have to be really creative in how we get louder than them.
And you know what? You know what the pharmaceutical industry also has is they have a market or customers who have not been conditioned or taught to think for themselves.
Yeah, but there's a growing number of people like me who got harmed by the medical profession and set out to learn. I was lucky enough to meet a person who had an Eden-type garden, and grazing in that garden saved my life. So I want to get that opportunity and that information to everybody. So I'm doing a Laughing in the Face of Cancer tour, and you can find me all over the internet. But thank you for having me on the show.
All right. Thanks, Denise. We got a break for a commercial there. It's funny that you mentioned laughing, because I'm reading Norman Cousins' famous book, and he healed himself by watching I guess comedy on TV or on films. All right, you're listening to the Homeschool Dad Show. I'll be back in just a minute.
We don't need no thought control. No dark sarcasm in the classroom. Thank you.
Hi, everybody. And welcome back to the Homeschool Dad Show. I'm your host, Dan Luzonis. And I'm talking all things education, all things parenting, and most of all, how you can unlock your kids' full potential. I'm taking your calls today at 866-606-8255. And check out my website online at homeschooldad.com. Today I'm talking about real-world education. Not the nonsense, not the fantasy stuff talked about or addressed in school. But, you know, out there in the real world, they say that 70% of life is spent among work and family. And at my age with young kids, I feel like it's 100%. But if you think about that for a second, if 70% of life is spent around work and family, shouldn't a parent or any person focus their energy on thriving in those spheres? Work is a big deal, and it can be, you know, something that liberates you, or it can be something that you dread, that basically incarcerates you. And it all depends what you do for work and how you go about it. I have a good friend who's about my age, and he's had some ups and downs in his career, like most of my peers. And he said that, you know, you need to teach kids how to create a job for themselves. Not get a job, create a job. So whenever you hear anyone talk about go to college, get a job, apply for a job, I mean, you should really recoil at that suggestion, in this only because it's just not ideal. Yes, you can go work for somebody. Yes, your kids can go work for somebody, get some skills, and maybe go out on their own, get some experience. But let's not forget the end goal. The end goal is work that you control, work that your kids love. And when our kids enter the world with, you know, mountains of debt and have spent all their time playing video games, and, you know, they just are off to a slow start. They have been decelerated, not accelerated. Do we have a caller on the line? Hi, Jacob. Welcome to the Homeschool Dad Show, and how can I help you today?
Hi, Dan. Yeah, you were talking about, you know, being just thrown into the real world, you know, right after high school and all that. It kind of like, it put me back to when I was 18 and I was in the Army Reserve, made me think of that. I was in there when it was the first Gulf War, and, you know, it's kind of like when you're not regular Army, so you really don't have, you know, what everyone else has, but you somewhat do, and then you just all of a sudden you just get in the deep of it, and you're like, you know, what's going on here? You have to learn everything so fast that it you have to actually, you know, harden yourself and everything. And then when you come back, you got people shaking, you know, and they're talking about Scud missiles in the real world, and the people that haven't you know, been there yet, they just laugh at you. They don't know, you know, they have all this fantasy, like you said. It's kind of the same thing, you know, with education and the real world. You just, you're not ready for it.
Well, you're not ready for it, but on the positive side, you realize how much you're capable of when you're thrown into the mix, right?
Exactly.
And then you have to really
just dig down deep and just hit it.
Well, the next conclusion is, you know, what else were you capable of that you were not put in situations to discover? You know, age 18,
exactly.
I mean, kids used to go to war at 14 and 15 and have families and run farms. And we're so much more capable as a species than we give ourselves credit for. And we almost need these forced challenges. And in the military, to me, I mean, I don't necessarily agree with, you know, all the, you know, the size of the military and all that, but it's undeniable that kids go to the military and they get their acts together. I have two nephews who are in the service. They just went in the last year and a half and they needed it. And, you know, it's been good for them. Kids used to go, you know, a year abroad and find themselves, or they would get married young and, you know, we don't really have many of these rites of passage that are going to really accelerate them. And unfortunately, the military is one of the only ones we have left. So what do you think when you look back, you know, about your biggest lessons in life? Because to me, I didn't even start learning till I was 25, 30 years old. I mean, do you feel like it was the same for you?
Well, actually, you were talking about, you know, people feeling like they're indestructible when they're young. You know, I would when I was in school, I mean, I could just walk back then. I could just walk right in to a store and buy a case of beer. And I wasn't even, you know, old enough. And so when I went into the Army, that actually saved me from being an alcoholic, actually. There's different things that can, if you immerse yourself into right things, I mean, the stuff that's going to structure you, stuff that's going to take you from wasting time, that could change your life.
I mean, there really is there's no middle ground. There's no treading water. You're either moving forward in life or you're moving back. Hey, Jacob, I want to thank you for the call. I always appreciate talking to you.
Thank you, sir. Have a good one.
All right. Yeah, the boot camp. I mean, it's kind of a trendy word these days, especially at like these fitness centers. But, you know, life is a shock. And, you know, when I think about my beyond academic education, I think about how I moved to Philadelphia for college and how all my learning was extra, you know, outside of the school. I worked 40 hours a week in college. And just being in a different city was a bit of a shock to me. And I actually got this job at a public golf course. And I witnessed things in South Philadelphia, you know, where Rocky was based, the movie Rocky. I witnessed things there that I had never seen before. You know, and I don't want to go too into detail, but just moving to a whole new city was incredibly educational. It was transformational. And, you know, the rest of my self-education, you know, I didn't have this background where I learned about money. I had to make money, spend money, and lose money. I had to go to the School of Hard Knocks on, you know, financials in order to, you know, get to the point where I understood, you know, how to make money, how to keep it, and how to wisely spend it. And my economic education was, you know, reading Forbes magazine every week. You know, I mean, what's the cost of that? Or every 2 weeks, $5 every 2 weeks, or it was $3 at the time. I mean, there's so much to learn out there. It is a profound tragedy that we're sheltering our kids from these lessons. I mean, what school is one giant exercise in deferred adulthood. You know, like Jacob said, he's going to military at 18, and, you know, he probably could have done that at 14 or 15. Maybe it would have kept him away from a bunch of cases of beer. You know, we don't have, or we have to stop sheltering our kids from the real world of work and family. You know, a lot of parents, and this even happens to me at times, you know, my kids can either be doing, you know, housework and chores, or they can be working on their, you know, more entrepreneurial projects, or they can be doing math. And sometimes I've got them doing math and I question myself. And a lot of parents, you know, they think their kid's job is doing their homework. And they don't ask the kids to empty the dishwasher. They don't ask the kids to take the trash out. And I mean, I've witnessed this, you know, constantly. But maybe we're making the wrong choice there. Maybe the chores are more important. Maybe the part-time job is far more important than 4 days a week of travel soccer. You know, I mean, these organized sports, they are a dead end for 99.99% of kids, just like school. But this is how we are investing their time when we should take a step back as a society and say, hey, we need to raise healthy kids who know how to deal with other people and who know how to support themselves and create work so that they can thrive in this cutthroat global economy out there, so that they can have options in life, so that they can have, you know, more than we have. We have to step back and make these decisions. And sometimes it's going against the grain. You know, I mean, very few kids quit soccer, or very, very few parents can say no to, you know, hours of SAT prep. Chinese school is a big deal here in New York, too, for the Asians. You're listening to the Homeschool Dad Show. I'm Dan Lozonis. I'll be back in just a minute. Hi, everybody, and welcome back to the Homeschool Dad Show. I am your host, Dan Lozonis, and I am talking all things education, all things parenting, and most of all, how you can unlock your kids' full potential. I'm taking your calls today at 866-606-8255, and check out my website online at homeschooldad.com. Today's show has been all about education beyond school. Education, you know, that transcends the academics, the handwriting, the spelling, the tests, and the degrees, and all the ceremonial aspects of school, because this is when life starts. It starts when the school ends. And unfortunately, it gets off to a slow start because of school. I've been trying to focus today on how school doesn't teach us how to maintain our bodies, no less create, like, you know, super physically fit Uber bodies. And it doesn't help us make money or understand how to thrive in the workplace. And lastly, how school, I would say, it distorts our social lives. You know, when you're in school, making friends is easy. And they're not even really friends. They're just kind of like co-inmates, because once the structure of school is gone, those relationships mostly deteriorate. And in the real world, making and maintaining friend or cultivating quality friendships is actually very hard to do, because people are busy. People move. Your buddy or your girlfriend will start dating someone who hates you or who you don't like, and they'll move. They'll have children. And I think around the ages, you know, late 20s, early 30s, your friends start to drop like flies. And you're busy yourself, maybe with your own kids and your career, but the net result is that we lose friends faster than we make them, because we don't know how to make new friends. We don't have a full pipeline of social activities. We're not being deliberate and intentional about expanding our social networks, and this is all because we never knew we had to do that. This is what, you know, school just kind of spoon-fed us friends, and it's a little bit of a shock to go out into the real world and not know how to really connect with people. I mean, I learned this, you know, much, much later on. And this is why, like, How to Win Friends and Influence People, Dale Carnegie's book, has been, you know, a bestseller for almost 100 years. You know, this stuff is what people want to know, what they need to know, to thrive in life. And you think about that little book, it's not even required in schools. I mean, that book, I mean, if you haven't read it, I would encourage you to read it. And definitely your kids age 12 and up should read that book. It'll be on the bestseller list probably for another 100 years as well. Now, the thing with success in life, and that's what this show is about, these long-term goals that will help, you know, in your parenting and in your educational decisions for your children, is that the formulas are not secret. They're very simple, explicit formulas. But the people who have advantages in them are just the people who started earlier. And I don't want my kids to have to learn about personal finance when they're 20 years old, 25, 30 years old, like when I learned about it. I don't want them to have to learn about the importance of having good posture, when it's too late, when their back is already, you know, concave. So I emphasize these things. I mean, I'm at the train station in Manhattan and the other day, and I'm pointing out people, mostly even young people, to my son and daughter. I say, look at their posture. These people have concave posture, and they're, you know, 18 years old. And it only gets worse. And it's a big deal. Not to redo my show on Supreme Physical Fitness, but it's an important thing that is not only not addressed in school, it's not addressed on TV, it's not addressed anywhere. But these are the things that can sneak up on you. These are your blind spots and really destroy your life. My father was super athlete his whole life. He can't walk now at 72. Why? Because he had slowly deteriorating bad posture, and it knocked out his hips and his knees. So he's 72 years old. He can't even walk. What kind of life is that? It wouldn't matter how much money he had. It wouldn't matter if he could, you know, conjugate all the French verbs. The academics don't matter. It even wouldn't matter, you know, what his social life would be, because, you know, he neglected his health. And this is what I'd encourage you to be on the lookout for at all times, is these blind spots. And focus on the long game, which is, you know, unlocking your kid's potential in every arena. It's not just about academics. It's not just about sports. It's not just about money. And this is our opportunity and our responsibility when it comes to our kids. And it's not easy, because if you're like me, you went to school and you had a slow start in a lot of these things. And you might have areas that you need to educate yourself on as well. And I would encourage you to do it. I'm learning all about the body now. I spent my whole life breathing through my mouth and depriving my body of optimum levels of oxygen. I had no idea the stress that was doing to my entire body. Nobody taught me how to breathe. There are people out there that stare at screens all day long and don't blink. You know what happens when you don't blink? Your eyes get dry. It leads to blindness. I mean, I would hate to see my kids being blind or near blind, because I had them in front of a computer too long or in front of a television too long. I didn't get them outside enough exercising their long-term vision. So yes, life is a minefield. Everyone around you is probably going to bring you down. And that's why you have to, at all times, be expanding your social circles and leveling up into higher spheres of whatever endeavor it is that you're trying to pull off, whether that's parenting, whether that's, you know, being better off financially or in terms of health, you name it. That's what I would encourage you to do. Keep fighting. School did not stop. Your education did not stop at age 18 or 22. In fact, you know, that's when it began. You know, this is when it really all began. It's a shame that the conventional path defers adulthood. It's a shame that it decelerates our kids, and we'd be crazy and irresponsible to put them on that same path and think because we have a bigger TV than our parents had, or we have a little bit more money than our parents had, that there are no risks out there, that our kids are going to cruise. Life is hard, but it's also full of opportunity. Thanks for listening this week. I'll be back next Wednesday.
The opinions you hear on Lifestyle Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Lifestyle Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Lifestyle Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or service. If you have any questions about Lifestyle Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at lifestyletalkradio.com.